This is Pastor Mike Ecclestone speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
Just going to let the Word of the Lord do the talking, and just ask that you listen to the Lord, not to me. And start out here in Judges 17. So I'm going to read verse 1, and then I'm going to go and read verse 5 through 13. So there's a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. Verse 5. And the man Micah had a house of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim of the house of Micah, and he journeyed, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, Whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, Dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and was in the house of Micah. And said Micah, Now know I that the Lord will do me good, saying that I have a Levite to my priest. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just ask that You speak your word through me. Just ask that the Holy Spirit move and that everybody be attentive and that I don't get in the way, but speak what you want me to speak. And just ask that you be with this message and all these things, I pray. Amen. So if I had to give this message a title, it would be Relationship versus Religion. So this is a religion that we just read about. You have a Levite just looking for a place to stay. He then finds a place to stay with Micah, who is coming up with his own religion. He's made these ephods, he's made these statues and idols, and he decides to have a Levite come and be his priest. And he even offers him, I'll pay you, I'll give you a suit of apparel. And then if you look at the reasoning behind why he did this, you find it in verse 13. Then said Micah, Now know that the Lord will do me good, saying I have a Levite to my priest. So he just has a Levite as a priest because he wants the Lord to bless him. That's his intent. So that's really all I wanted to go there. But that's the intent of the world. You have to do things. It's not by grace. So in religion, you have a hierarchy. You have someone who is in control of the church, or you have someone that you have to go through to know the Word of God. But that's not how the Word of God works. The Holy Spirit works through the people. No one man is higher than any other. So that's part of religion. The other part of it is it's works. We complicate things. In our own understanding, without the Spirit, without the Word of God in your life, we as men, we overcomplicate things. We always have to do something. There's a set of rules that we have to follow. We do things, good works, because that will lead us to salvation or lead us to heaven. That's what the world would like you to know. And the final thing would be questions. You're not supposed to ask questions. Religion, you're just supposed to take what they say. You go to a lot of churches, you go to a lot of places, they don't even open the Bible. They hand you something to read out of, or they put it up on a screen and just, trust me, this is the Word of God. But that's not how it works. We're supposed to study the scriptures, and anything that's set up in a pulpit or by anybody, you should be able to check it out, and you should be able to check it for yourself. But ultimately, that's what I want to look at as far as religion. I want to spend more time on the relationship aspect of things. But I also want to focus on don't ask questions. So let's go ahead and go to Isaiah 55. sure that you guys have heard that. Oh, don't ask questions. You can't ask questions. You're supposed to take it for what it is. But Isaiah 55, verse 8, and I'll also read verse 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So that's just to let us know that God's ways are not our ways. I've got a lot of scripture to turn to, so just bear with me. Let's go to Colossians 2. So this is a warning. It says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So that's a warning right there. If you're somewhere, if you see that there's traditions, you have to do these things, that's not of God. That's of men. So I know my family, when the holidays come around, we have all these traditions and all these things that we do. That's not what this is talking about. That's talking about taking traditions that you put above God and above Christ. So then if you guys will turn me to Romans 3. And then verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I put this verse in here because everybody's sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one that has been sinless and perfect except for Christ, who was God, is God. Wanted to read that one because no matter what good works you do, that's not what saves you. That's not salvation. Christ is salvation. And through him and through his blood and what he did on the cross. It's not of works. So then, I'm just going to keep moving here. We'll go to Ephesians 2, 8 and the beginning of 9, I believe. So this goes right there with it. For grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's a gift. You have to take that gift. You have to receive it. You can't just let it sit there. You've got to open it. It's a gift, but it's not of works. So after reading, that's the world's religion. They think it's works, but no man is sinless. Everybody sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God, and it's not of works. So now we'll go to John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Christ says, no man comes to the Father, no man gets to heaven but through me. So you're asking, okay, so what do you have to believe? So then we'll go to a verse that everybody will know. It's John 3:16. Or at least everybody should know. All right, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Also just want to note that it says his only begotten Son. Right. So just keep that in mind. Right. But I'm going to continue reading here. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the holy begotten Son of God. So that right there, that tells you how to be saved. You have to believe on Christ, and it says that you have hope, you have eternal life. People who don't believe in Christ, people who believe in works, or that they deny the deity of Christ, they're condemned already. Right. So there's no hope in that for them. That's a big difference between true Christianity and people who are just pretending. I think you see the difference. There is a hope there. Also, on the works, we don't do what we do to be saved. We do what we do because we are saved. though. Your works have nothing to do with it. But when you are saved and you have that relationship with Christ, and I'll get to that a little bit later on, that's what causes you to do what you should do. So that's just a brief sum up of religion and then how you can become saved. But I want to focus on the relationship aspect and focus on God so loved the world. You hear that and you say, okay, God loved everybody, but make that specific, make that to you. God loved you. So God so loved you that he gave himself. So I just want to go to further into that. God loves you, and then we'll go to John 15. I'm trying to let the Bible do the talking, not me. And then verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, and you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants know not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of the Father I have made known unto you. So right here, Christ is talking to his disciples. Make a practical application. He called them friends. He calls you friends. And he lets you know what the Father is doing. You're not servants and have no idea what's going on. You're just doing this. You're knocking on doors because you have to. You know why you're knocking on doors. And that's to save people's souls. You're supposed to lead them to Christ. But God's given us a roadmap, an instruction booklet to our lives. He lets you know what's going on. He just doesn't leave you in the dark. I want to focus on the fact that he called them friends. So go to Hebrews 2, 9. And then I don't know about you guys, but I don't just call everybody friends. I only call people friends that people I trust, people I care about. So it's not just as if Christ is a hierarchy that is you're not able to talk to,
right?
Because you're able to talk to your friends. So, but Hebrews 2, 9 through 11. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him from whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So he calls you brethren. You see right there, sons. So that's all a very intimate relationship. That's not just friends. That's brothers, sons. So we're going to stay in the book of Hebrews here. We're going to go to Hebrews 4, verse 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So right there, we're supposed to come boldly. Christ has given us a way that we can talk to him, talk to God. And it says that he was tempted like us, but without sin. But there, he's someone that we can go to and talk to. That goes back to being a friend, a brother, a son, being in the family. You can go and talk to them. If you have, in religion, you have people that you can't talk to. They're higher ups in the church. You may never even see them. They make the rules, and that's just the way it is. But this right here says you have problems. You can go to Christ. You can go to God, and you can get comfort and grace in your time of need. So let's go to Matthew 10:30. It's a small verse, but I think it's very important. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So Would a God that didn't care about you, who didn't want to have a relationship with you, would he count the hairs on your head? He knows everything about you. He wants to get to know you. But then the question is, do we want to get to know him? So I'm going through these verses to show that he cares about us and that we are in his family. And the family sometimes is dysfunctional, but you always care about each other. You don't just get rid of your family. You're stuck with them. So if you're saved, then that's just the way it is. But then let's go to Acts 8, 26 through 37. So a little bit of reading here. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem and Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Cadence, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generations? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So right here you have someone listening to the Lord. It's not just asking and talking. It's a relationship. Philip was listening to the Lord and went to this Ethiopian. And Philip didn't do anything to save him, but he led him in the right path to Christ. And he says, What must I do to be saved? So that's actually where I want to focus on. He asked a question. If you're saved, you had to ask a question. You had to ask Jesus to save you.
Right.
So religion tells you you're not supposed to ask questions. You just have to accept it. But the very reason why you're saved is because you asked a question.
Right.
So without questions, there's no salvation. And to begin with, he had to have someone lead him in the right direction. But after that, the Holy Spirit should be able to lead you in the right direction in the Word of God. That way you can lead other people in the right direction. So the questions, though, just shouldn't stop there, because it's a relationship. You're trying to get to know someone. So if you think about it, try to go throughout your day without asking a single question. So you see somebody, you say, Hey, how you doing? You can't do that. So, how's it going? How's your morning? What'd you do today? We go through the entire day asking questions, and that's how we get to know people. If you meet somebody for the first time, you've never met them before, what's your name? You can't ask a single question. So that's just how we're designed. We are designed to ask questions and to learn about people. So if you think about it, we're designed after God. God made us. We're supposed to ask questions. The Lord desires that. That's how we learn about Him. So just on that, I want to go to a few verses, because we've prayed, we talked to God, we asked for things, but do we ever listen? As you learn about people, you learn about their personality traits. Like I can tell you, me and Brandon, we love ping pong. But that only happened because we developed a relationship and we'll get together, we'll play ping pong. That's kind of a silly example, but that's just, I knew a little bit about the people you care about. Because you care about them, you want to know about them. So my question would be, do we know anything about God? Do we know anything about His personality? These are questions that we should ask. So I'm going to go to 1 John 4:8. Some of these will be very basic things that I'm sure that we all know, but I just want to go through them. So 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So if you don't love anything, then you don't know God, because God is love. So that's the first thing I have written down here. I would say maybe an attribute or a personality trait of God is that He is love. A lot of times people, they don't want to talk to Him. They say, oh, the big man upstairs, or, oh, you know, I pray to Him. You hear all these, a lot of these newer age Christian songs, they just say, for the one, Him. They don't use His name. But why are you afraid to use the name of someone that you love? So, same thing, we're going to go to 1 John 1, but verse 5, so right across the page. Well, actually back a little bit. We're going backwards here. So 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard from Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So God is light, there's no darkness. So I know as a kid you're afraid of the dark. Well, God is light, so if He's with you, then you're not ever in the dark. But He is light. So now I just want to go to Isaiah 40. I feel like everybody's doing a good job keeping up. I appreciate that. So Isaiah 40, verse 28. So even this verse starts with a question. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. So, He's everlasting. He doesn't get tired. And He knows everything. Right. So, just some very powerful attributes of God. That He knows everything. He's everlasting. We're going to go right across the page to Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. So the Lord is always with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. So if He's your God, don't worry, He's with you. I will strengthen thee, He'll give you strength. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee. So God's holding you up with the right hand of my righteousness. So He's also righteous. And then I know it's a good thing Mr. Rockwell's not here. He'd make fun of me being left-handed right there. But the Lord is righteous, and then He'll always be with you. We'll go to Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. So He's holy. So those are all very big attributes of God. Love, He's light, He doesn't get tired, He doesn't grow weary, He's all-knowing, He's righteous, He's always with you, and He is holy. So that's a very broad aspect on the spectrum. There's more that you can find on the attributes of God, but that's just a little bit to get to know Him. That's stuff that we probably all know, but wanted to go through it. Just like when you first get to know somebody, you know some general things that they like, maybe where they're from, where they're born, what's their favorite color, things like that. But now I want to go to Zephaniah 3:17. So, Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. So he's mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. So the Lord gets happy. The Lord gets excited. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. So the Lord's a singer. The Lord enjoys singing. He rejoices over you with singing. You're doing his will. So that's something that maybe a lot of people don't realize, that God's a singer. So then you wonder, why do we have this desire to sing when people are happy? When people are happy, you hear them singing, you hear them whistling. We were at youth camp this last week, and then all throughout the youth camp, you could hear people, just when they were happy or walking along, they were just singing or whistling. And then the people who maybe weren't as happy were sitting in a corner with a frown on their face. So you can see the difference. But even sometimes the silliest of songs, just you have this need to sing. Even if you don't necessarily have the best voice. So this verse was actually shown to me a while back by Christopher. It's one of his favorite verses, so I felt like I had to use it today. But it kind of started a debate, but this is what sparked you getting interested in the Bible. As we kind of joking, we said, well, what part does God sing? Does he sing bass? And then we eventually decided that he sings all the parts. So, but that's what I have on that. That's just some attributes of God, some very simple stuff. And then just, of course, with Steph and I just being interesting. But as you grow in your Christian walk, you should learn how to go through your Bible and communicate with God. So I remember when I first started coming to this church, I enjoyed it, but I was coming, there was almost like an idea that you have to come. It's something that you should do. So eventually, I started looking forward to it, and then was looking forward to, oh, I wonder what God told Pastor. And I'm listening for that. And then Brother Micah started going to Sunday school, interested in what God has told Micah. And then Brandon comes to the church. And then interested in what God here, you know, has told Brandon. And I start thinking, how does that happen? How do they get stuff from the Lord? Well, it's because I wasn't listening. I was talking to God. I was asking for things or praying, but I wasn't listening. And this is how you listen. He talks to you, but you have to find it in the Word of God. So just kind of my testimony of why I'm here. I was actually terrified when Pastor asked me. He asked everybody, and I was kind of just like. But I went with it, and then here I am. So, but your relationship with the Lord will go where you want it to. Its limitations are what you put on yourself. The Lord has a plan for you, and the question is, do you want him to complete that plan, or are you going to stifle the Holy Spirit? Right. So, just kind of want to end with this. So, I know I'm going to be finishing up right on time, which is surprising. But this is scientifically speaking, and I'll use air quotations because I don't believe a whole lot of science, but this right here, it talks about your relationship with people. So when you're around someone you love or that you care about, so a brother, a sister, a spouse, your parents, whoever, you actually take on or start to emulate or mirror some of their personality traits. So the way you act, if you hang around them long enough, will change slightly to be like them. And that's a natural thing for people. And then so a husband and a wife will start to mirror or emulate each other, and they will become more alike. So with that, you don't have to answer out loud, but I know we're not supposed to ask questions, right? Well, I'm going to ask two questions. One is, do you know God? Do you know Christ as your Savior? And not just know about him, do you know him? Have you trusted him? And then the second question I want to ask is, how well do you know God? And is he active and is he acting in your life? So reflect on that when you think your relationship with God, if you're spending time with him, your actions, what you say, what you speak, should be reflecting Christ. You should be becoming more Christ-like and more like him. So people can tell. And so this made me take a look in the mirror and kind of be like, well, if you're supposed to, you emulate the people you care about and love, are you emulating Christ? So that's my two questions would be, do you know Christ? And if you answered yes, how is your walk with God? Do you know anything about God? So, because he knows about you. So, Pastor?
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area he is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust him as your personal Savior, he will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in his finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.